So the 21st chapter of John has always been a challenge for scholars. If you recall, the end of chapter 20 was Jesus' resurrection, and here scholars believe that it was not part of the original gospel and was added later, probably by someone in the Johannine community, to show the disciples' lives after Jesus' resurrection and how the disciples and us experience Jesus' presence and our call to carry his work forward. So the disciples return to Galilee, probably wondering to themselves, what do we do now? Well, most of them were fishermen, so they went fishing. And it wasn't fishing for fun. I mean, they probably enjoyed it, but it was business fishing. They were fishermen. That's what fishermen do. That's how they got their food. That's how they paid their bills. And on this day, nothing was swimming into their nets. And then a stranger appears on the shore and says, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" Now, I've never thought of rugged fishermen as children. Yet Jesus knew what he was talking about, and the disciples probably knew a little bit as well, because they answered no, they weren't catching anything. And so the stranger says, "Cast your net on the other side, and you will find some." So they haul in their nets and toss it over the right side of the boat, and when they do, they catch so many fish, 153, that they can't even haul it in. That was when one of the disciples recognizes the stranger. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. And at that, Peter jumps into the lake. He wants to be with Jesus. And once they get to shore, Jesus has a charcoal fire ready to broil some fish. Now, the only other time a charcoal fire is mentioned in Scripture is when Peter was denying Jesus. Now Jesus, by another charcoal fire, is giving Peter a chance at redemption. Jesus and his disciples broil some fish and eat some breakfast. Then Jesus singles out Peter and asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" In other words, do you love me more than these other disciples? Do you love me most of all? And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Then he asks the question again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter again says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And then Jesus asks a third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And in that little exchange between Jesus and Peter, we find everything we need to know about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. For Jesus did not ask, for Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Not, "Did you remain faithful? Did you deny me? Did you run away?" I find this wonderfully encouraging. He didn't criticize Peter for his failure. He asks only one question: "Do you love me?" I find this encouraging as well, because I too have failed Jesus more often than I can remember. And my guess is so have you. If Jesus wants to air our sins in public, we would be terribly embarrassed. If Jesus demands a clean and pure life from us, we will be hopelessly lost. But Jesus doesn't ask, "What have you done?" He doesn't ask, "Have you been good?" He doesn't ask for a list of accomplishments. He simply asks, "Do you love me?" This is reassuring, I think, because I think I can do that. I might not show that love right or the way that we are expected to, but I think I can love Jesus. I'm not sure how well I've done everything else, but I think I can love Jesus. If that's the only test that I have to pass, I think I can pass it. And so can you. You can pass the test too because you can love Jesus. If Jesus required us to be truly holy or to read the Bible every day or never to have an impure thought or never to have violated the commandments, if Jesus required those things, we would be lost. But Jesus asks only, "Do you love me?" We can do that. When Peter answers that he loves Jesus, Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Lambs are baby sheep. Sheep that aren't fully grown. Sheep that need special care and feeding. Sheep that need someone to teach them how to grow up. Lambs need someone to keep them from running out in front of the car. If we love Jesus, we will do what we can to feed his lambs. We will do what we can to love and protect and feed and teach those in our care. Jesus is speaking to us when he says, "Feed my lambs." He is speaking to all of us. Give some thought to how you might answer that call, how you might contribute to the well-being of this community. And then Jesus says to the second time, "Tend my sheep." Now, tend is a bigger word than feed. Every gardener knows that. It is easy to feed a garden. All you have to do is sprinkle some fertilizer on the ground and add some water when it's dry. Tending the garden is the hard part. Tending the garden means getting your hands dirty. Tending the garden means digging weeds. Tending the garden means building a fence to keep out the deer and the rabbits. Tending the garden is hard work. It requires the gardener to anticipate what the plants need and then provide it. Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." Ask yourself what that means for you. Ask yourself what you can be doing to help other people. There are plenty of needy people in this world, in this town, in this congregation, in your own neighborhoods. What does Jesus want you to do to help them? And finally, at the third time, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Jesus himself provides the model here. He fed people bread and fish at the feeding of the 5,000. He gave them food for their bodies. He fed people bread and wine at the Last Supper. He gave them food for their souls. Jesus fed people to meet their physical needs, and he fed them to meet their spiritual needs. And Jesus calls us as well to do both. Ask yourself what he might want you to do to feed your hungry brother or sister, to give them physical and spiritual bread. One night in New York on Broadway, the great star Mary Martin was preparing to go on stage as she had 1,000 times before in Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific. And just before she took the stage, a note was handed to her. And the letter was signed by Oscar Hammerstein himself, who was that evening on his deathbed. And the note was short. It simply said, "Dear Mary, a bell's not a bell until you ring it. A song's not a song until you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away." And when the play was over that evening, the cast rushed her backstage and asked, "What happened We have never heard you perform it that way before. And Mary read to them Hammerstein's note and said, "Tonight I gave my love away." And I can hear Jesus' words to Peter in that. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Jesus was saying to Peter, "You know the song, sing it. Peter, you've got the bell, ring it. Peter, love isn't love till you give it away." Alleluia. Christ is risen.